The shadow secretary of state listening to this, Ivan Lewis, this morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Do you distinguish between those people from whatever side who put a gun, a bomb in their hand, and people who were blown up on their way to work, on their way into the city centre, children, like we've just heard Charlie's family were affected?
I've said already there can be absolutely no moral equivalence between somebody who sets out to plant a bomb and murder people and the victim of those bombs. The difference, I think, when we talk about victims is whether the loved ones of all those who ended up dying in the Troubles deserve support from services. That's a different question. Is there moral equivalence? Of course there isn't moral equivalence. And any attempt to suggest that, I don't think, helps to move Northern Ireland forward.
And yet, how does Northern Ireland move forward then if you have a sizeable proportion of this community saying, hold on a moment, you know, there was aggression from the British state, there was an unfairness in this country, and people had to defend themselves, their community and their homes?
Well, I think by applying common sense, look, I want to respond to what Theresa Villiers is going to say later. Of course, it would be a big mistake to erase the fact from history that the vast majority of murders during the Troubles were committed by Republican and Loyalist terrorists. That is a fact. But we have to be very, very careful not to suggest that those killed on Bloody Sunday or at Ballymurphy are somehow second-class victims, because the loved ones of those victims also deserve truth and justice. And that is what I mean by balance, by responsibility in the way that one assesses what happened during the Troubles. It's difficult because people are passionate and emotionally involved. For example, I agree with Mike Nesbitt when he says that it's crucially important that not only do we focus on truth and justice, but the intergenerational trauma, which frankly has decimated so many people's lives in Northern Ireland, which means comprehensive mental health services. But my challenge to Mike would be, get back into those talks along with the other parties, and as soon as these elections are over, let us get agreement on at least the past and parades. Let us begin to develop what's described as a victim-centered system, then we can move on.
But put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. So if Labour gets into power after the next general election, will there be a sizeable funding commitment to mental health in Northern Ireland, extra money?
Well, look, I'm not going to make spending commitments ahead. What I would
say, it's hot air then.
What I would say to you is, in our discussions, because that's not appropriate, the Treasury's got to look at the economy at the time, you know this, Stephen, and look at the range of pressures. But what I will commit to you is this. I will argue that there are special circumstances and challenges facing Northern Ireland, and that needs to be reflected in the level of support we make available so that Northern Ireland can create comprehensive mental health services. But of course, there's other difficult choices that have to be made, and we can see that in the context of the debate which is taking place at the moment around welfare.
Ivan Lewis, you represent, in terms of the Labour Party, Northern Ireland. You're the Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. And Labour and other parts of the UK are prepared before the next general election to make spending commitments in different things. Ed Miliband was criticised over many months for not having any hard policies, and all of a sudden they come out and they talked about different policy areas which they would differentiate themselves from the Tories.
So it's a
completely fair question for me to say, would there be any hard commitment to Northern Ireland from you?
It's fully costed.
Yeah, well, would there be any hard commitment from Labour to Northern Ireland?
Well, hold on. As we get near an election, one of the things that I will be doing is laying out our vision, which will be distinct from this government on many issues, not on security, where there's a bipartisan approach, but, for example, on an economic plan where we can support the Northern Ireland Executive in terms of jobs and growth and tackling inequality. Of course, I will lay out a distinctive vision about how a Labour government would be different. But I'm not going to come on your show and make spending commitments at this stage. It would be totally inappropriate.
And you agree with the Secretary of State that there is too much attention on security force killings?
Well, look, recently we've had high-profile arrests to do with terrorist attacks in Omar and in terms of the Jean McConville murder. So we've got to be very, very careful about talking about where the emphasis and the focus is. What I said to you is this: it would be a mistake to rewrite history. The vast majority of people killed were the victims of Republican and Loyalist terrorists. But those who were the victims of state unlawful killing, and let us not be in denial about the fact there was unlawful state killing. Those victims deserve truth and justice
okay.
as well.
Stay there. I just want to ask you a couple more questions after the news. It's 9:35. And this is why, Ivan Lewis, you are prepared to publicly distinguish between someone that pulled a trigger, that carried a bomb, and someone that was at the other end of it.
Totally. There can be no moral equivalence if we're to have the ability to agree on a shared future for Northern Ireland. The idea that there's moral equivalence. Where I think we get into difficulty is people's entitlement to support from various services. And in those circumstances, of course, relatives and family members of all those who were caught in, up in the Troubles deserve support from those services. But that is not the same as saying the person who goes to plant the bomb is exactly the same in terms of moral equivalence than the victim. That is sheer nonsense. It's insensitive and it doesn't help to move the process forward.
So Labour then would seek to legislate to redefine the legal definition of a victim, because the current legal definition of a victim in Northern Ireland does not distinguish. That's why this is so interesting from you this morning.
No, let's be clear. There is a difference, and I've stressed this. The legislation is about who is entitled to assistance from a variety of support.
The legislation defines a victim.
In the context of the definition of victim. And I've said, I believe that anybody who was caught up in the Troubles, who is a relative of somebody in those circumstances, a family member, deserves support. They didn't make the choice to get involved. That's what that particular legal definition refers to. But in terms of moral equivalence, I've been clear since I got this job, and I will always be clear. However, I'm also clear about this. We can't deny the fact that the state did terrible things as well.
But can
and
I
there
ask,
has to be truth and justice.
Yeah, because there is
the
a lot
of victims of the state as well. If we are to have the ability to move forward,
I can tell you now. Come in the phones. There's a lot of discussion about this, Ivan, which is why I'm just pushing it one more time. But why do you distinguish between the legal definition of a victim and the moral interpretation of it? Why should people? Why do you distinguish at all?
Like because the context of the legislation is whether family members and loved ones who of those who lost their lives or were injured, I think mainly lost their lives in the Troubles, should receive help and support in terms of their suffering as a consequence of that. It is not defining whether a hierarchy of victims. It's about whether loved ones and family members are entitled to receive support. And in those circumstances, I think if Northern Ireland is to move on, we should accept the fact that family members and relatives of those caught up in the Troubles in whatever circumstances are victims and need our help.
You see, I doubt that the British government is helping the family of the 7/7 bombers.
Well, we don't know the circumstances in terms of that, do we? We don't know individual circumstances or the effect that these things have on people. But I thought that there was an agreement in Northern Ireland that there needs to be reconciliation, there needs to be a move towards a shared future, and there needs to be a recognition that everybody on all sides has suffered. And the family members and loved ones should not be penalised for the actions of their relatives. I thought there was a broad consensus on that. Where people get outraged is when people come on your programme and suggest moral equivalence between those who commit, who plant bombs, and those who...
You've just heard Alex Maskey do it.
Well, I think, Alex, I've got a lot of respect for Alex on a whole range of issues, but on this, he's frankly wrong.
Can I ask you before you go this morning, totally different point, then we'll come back to calls on this today, 08459 555 678. But just while you are with us, Ivan Lewis, big, big issue in Northern Ireland, welfare reform. And we had the finance minister, the DUP, Simon Hamilton, in this studio just a matter of days ago now, warning Northern Ireland that there are massive penalties coming to Northern Ireland if welfare reform now is not accepted in Northern Ireland. That was followed then by the health minister, Edwin Poots, talking about radical changes to our service delivery in Northern Ireland because of a lack of money if welfare reform is not implemented. And then you have Sinn Féin standing their ground saying, absolutely not, more negotiating can be done with the British government. Let's fight for more.
Well, look, I would say that I can understand why people object to many elements of this Tory-led government's welfare reform programme. We, for example, are very clear. You asked me about commitments. We have fully funded the implications of scrapping the bedroom tax. It's a clear commitment. The bedroom tax would be scrapped under a Labour government. But in terms of other welfare reform, let me be very, very clear. There are some who suggest that a Labour government elected in Westminster in May 2015 would turn up and all would be resolved in terms of Northern Ireland's requirement to implement these welfare reforms. Well, we would not be able to reverse many of the reforms that are currently being put into place. And what I would say to the politicians in Northern Ireland is this. Devolution says that if you don't implement welfare reform, there are financial penalties. You have to find the money from elsewhere. The current stalemate is completely undesirable and unacceptable. It's like Haas. Haas and welfare are a demonstration of politics not working in Northern Ireland for the people of Northern Ireland. So there must be every effort made to break this stalemate and to find a way of ensuring that these financial penalties come to an end as soon as possible.
Well, the two big parties are in an entrenched position, so who do you back? Do you back the DUP in this or Sinn Féin?
My job is to say to them...
You're not going to sit in the fence, presumably.
My job, actually, if I was Secretary of State, I would have been far more involved and active in, first of all, the discussions between the Treasury and the Northern Ireland parties in the executive, but also in saying, looking those Northern Ireland parties in the eye and saying it is not acceptable for this stalemate to continue. You have to find a way forward. By all means, mitigate some of the impacts. Say we're not going to implement the bedroom tax. I believe in principle that's already been suggested. But on the whole, the idea that Northern Ireland could just sit there and refuse to make any changes around welfare and then all of the financial penalties that come with that is not a sustainable political position. And it says to the people of Northern Ireland, politics doesn't
work. If there's one thing people in Northern Ireland don't like, it's politicians sitting on the fence. So which side are you on? Should we accept the welfare reform or is there more negotiating to be done in the Sinn Féin right? Which is it?
Well, I think that there are always ways that in terms of if there are elements of the welfare reform package that Northern Ireland decides it doesn't want to do and it wants to find the money from elsewhere, that's perfectly legitimate. Do I believe that the Treasury are in negotiating mode currently? They're not. As far as they're concerned, they believe the negotiations are over and I don't think that they'll find that the UK government is willing to be any more flexible than they've been.
So you back the DUP?
That is the reality.
So you support the DUP's position in this?
No, I don't support the DUP's position because I think that, to some extent, they seem too enthusiastic about all elements of the Tories' welfare reform agenda. And we know that some of those elements are pernicious, like the bedroom tax, like a tax on disabled people. So Northern Ireland does have a right to say we are going to find money from elsewhere not to implement some of this. But the idea that none of these welfare reforms should be implemented or should be delivered is a ridiculous position. So there has to be a compromise found, and you have to move forward. But the financial penalties that Northern Ireland is going to be accruing over the next 12 months are going to be deeply damaging. The stalemate is counterproductive. It sends the wrong message about politics in Northern Ireland. And if you're asking me how it would be different, I would have sat down with those parties by now and tried to thrash out an agreement to move forward.
OK. Ivan Lewis, thank you very much indeed. 9:45.